It's good to see you this morning. Lord bless each one. I'm going to start our service off this morning by singing the hymn number 85. Pardon me. 85 from the Redemption Hymn Book. Here is love lost off the ocean, loving kindness off the flood. Precious God, we thank you and praise you this morning that we can call upon your holy and precious, wonderful name. Lord, we know that we never get you at a bad time. We know, Lord, you're never too busy. The little chorus says, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Lord, we know you're here, for you're an omnipresent God. You are the omnipresent God, and beside you there is none other. And Lord, we know that your word declares that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. Lord, we're gathered in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, your word says, Lord, that in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Lord, we're glad this morning our trust is in you. Indeed, Lord, you are the Prince of Life, full of love, mercy, and compassion and grace. Lord, the word says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift you up this morning. We magnify your office, Lord, because of the truth there is none like you. And we come to you this morning with our petitions. We make them known unto you, Lord. And we say, Lord, vain is the help of man. Lord, man can only do so much. Perhaps many times they have good intentions. Lord, they try. But Lord, the help of man is like a broken stick. Lord, we couldn't lean on it. But Lord, we can rest steadfast and sure in the rock of ages. Lord, we know we have a hope this morning in you. And we know according to your word that if we shall ask anything in your name, you will do it. Lord Jesus, I ask you this morning and I lift up before you this morning, Amanda Brown. Lord, for Graham and all the family at this time, that you'll give them strength and courage and let their promises and their eyes be set on the, or their focus be set on the promises of God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that they will understand that your word is yea and amen. It's not maybe or if so or in or out, but it's steadfast and sure. Lord, your word says that whatsoever, Lord, we desire, when we pray, if we believe, we shall have it. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us, Lord, this morning and in every day, that we'll not be double-minded people, but, Lord, that we will say what we want and receive what we need in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. I ask you, Lord, that you'll heal her and give her full deliverance in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you'll increase her faith, increase the faith of those round about her. I pray, Lord Jesus, that round about her there'll be none of Job's comforters, but Lord Jesus, that everyone that will come to speak to her, visit with her, will speak words of encouragement and words of faith in Jesus Christ's name. Help us, Lord, to be compassionate, Lord. Help us to feel, Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us have been touched, Lord, even within our own families, Lord, of this circumstance, Lord. Lord, many people talk about the big sea and the fear of the big sea, but the big sea is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And Lord, you've never lost a battle, and cancer is nothing to you, Lord. We rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against it. We plead the merits of the precious blood of Jesus over our sister's life in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that the demons flee and tremble at the mention of your precious name. Lord, I ask you this morning if there's any in our midst here this morning that's needing a touch from you. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll visit with them even in their QR vehicle this morning. That you'll minister unto them even as thy word goes forth this morning. Lord, that you'll raise them up and lift them up and restore the backslidden, I pray. Lord, increase the faith of those who's needing their faith in Christ. Lord, fill the heart that's full of sorrow, full of joy, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let the feeble hands that hang down low be stretched forth towards heaven, I pray, rejoicing and being glad in the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, this morning that indeed you'll bless the singing, bless the praise, and bless the worship. And Lord, for the unsaved and their families, we pray you'll save them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord God, that everything that's said and done will bring glory and honour to your wonderful name. And Lord, we just want to say again this morning, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Calvary, Lord, where you were nailed to that cross and you shed your precious blood for us. Lord, we say that where the Prince of Life, my ransom, shed his precious blood for me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've done it for us because of our own selves we couldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have been able to redeem ourselves. But Lord, it took one greater, with a greater value to redeem us. Lord, we were lost and sinful, Lord. We were black and dark. But Lord, we thank you for the light of the glorious gospel that shone in our hearts and shines in our lives, even now shines in us and through us, radiating light wherever we go. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we'll make somebody's life a little bit brighter today. Lord, that we'll make someone's path, Lord, shine bright. Lord, for your word says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Help us, Lord, to increase our light, Lord, and not to hide it under a bushel in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Let us not be ashamed, but Lord, let us be glad and rejoice that we're born again, washed in the blood of the Lord, the Lamb, Lord. And we just ask you now that you'll bless this service for your own glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing that hymn, a well-known hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. It's number 176 in the Redemptional Hymn Book. One of my favourite hymns. So, tremendous verses in it. I love that verse. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary. And such a burden it was to bear. And he suffered and died alone. Amen. Let's sing this morning. I stand on the prayers, God. We'll sing maybe a chorus before Brother John comes this morning. I'm going to try and sing a psalm. Makes it go out of tune, but can we sing that little chorus? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be safe from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
Subject this morning, and really my title is The Teaching and the Preaching of the Early Disciples, or of the First Disciples of the Lord. And you know, it would be probably impossible to cover that in half an hour or in one service, or something you could spend a lot of time on, and you could do a study on it, or it could last for weeks and weeks. But I want this morning, you know, I'm going to read from the book of Acts in chapter 3, and there's two verses in particular that I want to pay attention to. But to give a brief outline, I want to read the whole chapter, or the beginning of the whole chapter. I want to read from verse 1, and it's the story of Peter and John going up at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. They're going up to the temple for to pray. Now we're beginning the reading right away here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask them alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which was had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that ye through ignorance did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before have showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshings shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Well, just ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We realize it's forever settled in heaven. We realize that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word remains the same. We ask you, Father, that your word will be the authority of all things this morning. And Lord, we ask that we'll confide to your word, Lord, and to nothing else, that we'll put our trust in your word. And Lord, that it'll be the truth, and that it'll make us free. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, Lord, this morning you came to suffer on the tree. But we thank you, Lord, you're not on the tree this morning. We thank you, Lord, there was one sacrifice for sin at that place called Calvary. Lord, we're glad this morning you're no longer on the cross. But you said it is finished. And Lord, we're glad you're no longer in the tomb, but you rose again the third day according to the scripture. And we ask you, Lord, as we would gather around your word this morning, you'll give a witness, Lord, of the resurrection of yourself from the dead, Lord, unto life eternal. We ask you, Lord, as we gather around your word, you'll visit with us, and we'll know a sense of your presence here among us, even as there has been right from the start. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now, I said I had given myself a big scope. And you know it is a big scope to start to talk about the things that the disciples taught and the things that the disciples preached. I want to say from the outset, they never preached anything that was not in the scriptures. I want to say also, when the disciples preached and taught Jesus Christ, they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there were supernatural manifestations of the power of Almighty God among the disciples and among the people. Now, first of all, what is a disciple? A disciple is a man who is under discipline. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. Did you know that? And these men walked with God for 3.5 years, and they were disciplined by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were disciplined in the things that led to God, in the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. They were disciplined. So a disciple today is a man or a woman who will receive instruction from the Word of God. A disciple today is a man or a woman who receives their mind thoughts from God. It's not from the scientists. It's not from great education, but it's by a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quickly here I want to say something about these men. What these men, I'm trying to say what they did do, but I want to also point out to you what they did not do. They didn't preach themselves. They didn't preach a strange God, but they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They didn't claim to have great power. They didn't claim to have great holiness. And you know, verse 12 will tell you that, because what happens here whenever Peter and John goes up to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray? The met a lame man, the wee chorus says, they met a lame man on the way, and he held out his hands and he asked for alms. And this is what Peter did say: silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible says they took him by the hand, and he leaping up stood. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Then what happens? Well, everybody sees the man. Everybody in the vicinity sees the man. Everybody doesn't only see the man, but everybody knows the man. Now listen about this man. You know what it tells us, and we read it. It says he was lame from his mother's womb. This man never walked in his life. This man hadn't got the ability to walk. This man couldn't stand on his own 2 feet. He had legs and he had feet, but he couldn't stand on them. And he had never taken a step in his life. You imagine that. The Bible says, you know, the disciples was brought into question about this miracle. And it said the man in whom this miracle was wrought was above 40 years old. He was on the wrong side of 40. Listen this morning, I don't care what age you are, God can touch you. I don't care how old you are, I don't care how long you've been in the state you're in, if you have faith in God, God can touch you, and God can deliver you, and God can set you free. Hallelujah. Listen, these men was going to pray, they were going to meet with God, and you know, they were going to the temple, but you don't have to be in the temple. Now, it's good to be in the house of God, but even though if you're in the house of God or you're not in the house of God, God's still available. Hallelujah. He's still available to call upon. But you see, what had the disciples? They had a supernatural power, a supernatural ability. Now, what was that? That was the Holy Ghost. That was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, the verse 12, you see, the people came. I started to talk about the people. We have the people that was there. Them's the ordinary people. Them's the people that knew the man and saw the man and knew that man had never walked in his life. He had never taken a step. says that he leaping up stood. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. I tell you something. That's a supernatural event that has happened because of the manifest power of God. What did the disciples preach? They preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They preached the power of God to save, to heal, and to deliver. That's what the disciples preached. They preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want to move on here, but I want you to draw your attention to verse 12. And you know, the people all came running together, and they all came round. And it says that they were filled, in verse 10, it says they were filled with wonder and amazement. You know, if you see a man standing that has never stood in 40 years, you're going to be struck dumb. You're going to look at it and say, what's going on here? This man never walked before. This was his first step. You know, it's lovely to see a newborn baby, isn't it? It's lovely to see a baby starting to grow. It's lovely to see a baby crawling around the floor. But it's also greater lovely. It's also lovely whenever a baby stands on his feet for the first time and takes a step. Could you imagine that 40-year-old man, maybe his mother and father had passed on, we don't know. Maybe they were still alive. But could you imagine somebody coming to them and saying, oh, you're waiting on your baby walking, well, you'll have to wait for 40 years. But he was above 40 years old, the Bible says. You read that later on. And he walked and leaped and praised God. And then all the people came running. What was it? You see, the disciples didn't only preach the gospel. They demonstrated the gospel. They demonstrated the power of God when they preached. Now you might say, oh John, I know that. That was the disciples, but we're not disciples. Well, have you never received any instruction from the Lord? Have you never got any discipline from the Lord? Are you going to cut yourself off and say, I'm not a disciple? Well then, if you're not a disciple, are you not a believer? But you know, today we are believers. And I want to tell you this morning, if you receive instruction from Christ, you're a disciple of Christ. You're not a disciple of the devil. God's calling men and women to be disciples. God's putting his hand on men and women today to preach the gospel and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and to preach the supernatural power of God. That anointing that destroys the yokes. That power of God that can set the captives free. You see, Peter then in verse 12, he says, and when Peter saw it, well, he saw all the people coming together in Solomon's porch, greatly wondering, the Bible says. Greatly, greatly wondering. They can't believe their eyes. They can't really believe what they have saw. And they were eyewitnesses. There was people there who were eyewitnesses of the power of God. There was people there that day who could tell you the story of what happened. There could people there who could say, this was the man that was carried. We knew he was carried. He was carried there and he was laid there. Every day he was there. Why? He was a beggar. You know, if you're a beggar when you meet with Jesus, you're not going to be a beggar any longer. Too many beggars today. But God is able to deliver the beggar. God's able to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. And you know, whenever Peter saw the people coming together and all, Peter says in verse 12, he says, why marvel ye at this? Why are you shocked? Why are you took back? Why do you not believe what you have just saw? Or why are you wondering about this? But you see, he says, why marvel ye at this, or look so earnestly on us? Now listen to this. Peter never claimed to be a divine healer. Peter never claimed to be a miracle worker. Peter never said he was a savior. Peter said, he never said he was a healer. He never said he was a Holy Ghost baptizer. He gave that to the one and only man. He gave that to the one and only person who ever could be a savior, who ever sake of time, I'm not going to read it all, but listen, it's all contained in these verses. And he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have raised up Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified. Now he's speaking to the Jews, he's speaking to the people who crucified him, and the Romans. He says, whom you crucified and desired a murderer in his stead, or in his room. So Peter didn't claim to be any of them things. He gave the glory to Jesus. He gave the glory. There's a wee course that says, we'll give the glory to Jesus and tell it again and tell it again. We'll give God the glory. We give God the glory today for miracles of salvation. We give him glory today for miracles of deliverance and healing. We give him glory today for the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And we give him glory today that he's coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Now I want to say that Peter tells us in verse 16, the key to the supernatural manifestation of the power of God. And there's a simple key to any power of God. There's a simple key that will unlock the power of God. There's a simple key that will unlock the promises of God. There's a simple thing that will bring you into the presence of God. And that is the key of faith. And in verse 16 he says, and in his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. I want to say that the power of God is available where there's faith in God, where there's faith in God's word. Faith will bring a miracle into your life. Faith will bring salvation into your life. Faith will bring deliverance into your life. Faith will bring hope into your life. Faith will take the fear of COVID off from you. Faith will deliver you from COVID. If you think you've got the COVID, I tell you, faith will cast out evil spirits and they'll have to leave in the name of Jesus. And faith is the key. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. You know, Peter said it wasn't his faith. He said it's the faith that's by him. The faith which is by him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. Faith is a gift from God. Hallelujah. Faith can set you free. Faith can save your soul. Faith can bring the power of God into any situation. Faith's the key. Now listen, what would it be like to go to one of Peter's meetings? What would it be like to sit in John's meeting? What would it be like to sit in any of the meetings where the disciples was preaching? You're going to hear about a Savior called Jesus. You're not only going to hear about a Savior called Jesus, you're going to hear about a resurrected Jesus, and you're going to see a witness bearing testimony to the risen Christ. You're going to see a witness of the resurrection of the dead unto eternal life. Hallelujah. That's what it's like to be in his, in one of them men's meetings. I tell you, the power of God was manifest. The power of God was real. And you know, you wouldn't maybe just hear a three-point sermon with all the P's and Q's and all the dots and all the I's, all the flurry sermon. Them things is good, but we need the power of God coming in the room. That's what we need. We need a touch from heaven. We need a touch from the Almighty. We need the presence of God manifest among us. So, praise his holy name. Verse 17, Peter says, and now, brethren, I would that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Now listen to verse 18, because it's a great verse. It says, but those things which God before have showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Let me tell you this, and I know you know this, but I want to remind you of what you know. The disciples never preached anything that was not in the Word. They never taught anything, or they never preached anything that they couldn't show you from the Scripture. And they referred back to the Old Testament saints who had prophesied of the Messiah who would come, and they referred back to the sufferings of Christ, and everything they said, they could back it by the Word of God. Let me say this morning, and you know this without me telling you, if it's not in the Bible, if it's not in this book called the Holy Bible, you cannot preach it or you cannot teach it. It's a man-made theory or it's a man-made doctrine, but everything that these men preached and everything that these men taught, they could refer to the Old Testament, and they could preach the Christ who had suffered on the cross and who had risen again, and they could preach the Holy Ghost coming on a Gentile bride and a Holy Ghost coming on the Jews who would believe God. Everything they had. You know it says in verse 18 of Acts chapter 3, but those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Let me tell you this, and you know it also, God is able to fulfill his word, and God is able to keep his word, and God is fulfilling his word, and you are not responsible to do what God said he would do. It's God that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. It's God that's fulfilling his word. It's God that's watching over his word to perform it. And it's God that inspired the holy prophets of yesteryear to speak the word of the Lord and to say, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now listen, whenever these men, Peter and John, was going up to the temple, and then they're asked about this miracle that took place, they make reference to the holy prophets, they make reference to the holy Scriptures, they make reference to the Old Testament saints and the Old Testament prophets who prophesied of the sufferings of Christ, and that were, then they said, God hath so fulfilled them. And he said, not only that, but he said, God had showed them before. God's able to show you something that's going to happen before it happens. God's able to show you things that are going to come to pass. What did Jesus say about the Holy Ghost? He said, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He says, whatsoever things he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he says, he shall show you things to come. Isn't that right? The Holy Ghost. You know, the devil thinks he's in control, but I have news for him. He's only a tool in the hand of God. God's only letting him go so far. God's in control. God knows the end from the beginning. Isn't that right? God's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. Well, you know that directly means he's before the first and he's after the last. He's Almighty God. Now let me move on here. Listen, you know, I'm just watching the clock here. Why the time's flying in. But Peter and John here, they make reference to the Christ who suffered. They make reference to the crucified Christ. You know, some people today, they want a Christ, but they don't want a crucified Christ. Some people today want a gospel with no blood. I tell you, there's blood on this gospel. It's the blood of Jesus. You know, some people today want to talk about everything, but they don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus. They don't want to hear about a place called Calvary. They don't want to hear about a suffering Christ. What did that wee chorus say? It says, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Hallelujah. Listen, I want to move on. I need to keep moving on because the time is going so quickly. But listen, if you wanted to read about the suffering Christ, and I'm not going to turn to it for time's sake this morning, there wouldn't be time, but all you have to do, perhaps them disciples was reading Psalm 22. And when you read about Psalm 22, you read how the Lord suffered at a place called Calvary. You read how they plucked the hair from his face. You read how that his back was ploughed like a field, and how that many bulls of Bashan had compassed him about. And how that he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus died alone on the cross. I know there was two thieves, but he died alone because his Father left him. The Bible says, somebody wrote the hymn and poem and said, the sun refused to shine. I want to say Jesus suffered on the tree. I want to say Jesus suffered on the cross. You know, he suffered the sins of the world. He suffered for you and he suffered for me. He's a suffering Savior. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. They walked past him when he was on the cross, they looked up at him and they said, he trusted in God, let God deliver him now, and we'll believe. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe. Oh, that spirit's still alive today. Them people may have passed on, but that spirit's still alive. Oh, show me a miracle, show me a healing and I'll believe. You want to see something special to believe? Jesus said, have believed and have not seen. I tell you, Jesus is alive today. He died on the cross, but he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now you could read Isaiah chapter 53 and says, who hath believed our report, or to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's the suffering Christ. It's the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, I want to turn, don't go away from Acts chapter 3, you just stay there. Listen, I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 8 down to verse 12, and it says, it's talking about Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to say the gospel is a gospel of joy, and it's a gospel of glory, and it's unspeakable. Hallelujah. And it's, verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I want to say that there's a confirmation of the sufferings of Christ, and also a confirmation of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and a confirmation of the Spirit of Christ that was in them early prophets away back in the Old Testament. What were they saying? The same things that Jesus said. What were they teaching? The same things that Jesus taught way back in the Old Testament. Now, coming back to the book of Acts in chapter 3 here. There's so much stuff here. I'm going to skip over it quickly. But Peter points out that Christ suffered. And we know he did. He suffered on the cross. He suffered. Listen, Jesus suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. Now there's a certain suffering that you may endure. There's certain things you may go through. But I believe healing is in the atonement. I believe the healing of your body is in the atonement. I believe when Jesus said it was finished, he had done enough. The Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. You know, you don't put somebody in front of a whipping post and whip them with 30 39 stripes on their back, and you don't say, oh, he didn't suffer. Jesus suffered. You know, the Jews was looking for a Messiah to come, but they never were expecting a suffering Messiah. They never were expecting Christ to have to suffer. They never were expecting Christ to have to go to the cross. But listen, he had to go to the cross. Why had he to go to that cross? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who believe and are saved, it's the power of God. He had to go to the cross to take on him the sins of the world. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus suffered at the whipping post. Jesus suffered. He suffered humiliation. The Bible says they stripped him of his clothes. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Thorns mock you, you know. Thorns is a mockery. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They said, oh king, you're the king. Then they smote him and put a blindfold on him and smote him and said, prophesy, who smote you? I tell you, he suffered. All the disciples forsook him and left him. Peter says, I'll never leave you. Lord, I'll never leave you. Don't care what happens, I'll die with you. I'll never leave you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you shall deny me thrice. 3 times, you know, I saw a picture recently, and it was a picture of Peter. Someone had painted a picture of Peter, and he'd come out of that judgment hall, and he was weeping. And there was the rooster standing. The Bible says that the Lord just looked at Peter, and Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because he'd rejected the Lord. He let himself down. Listen, never build yourself up, for if you build yourself up, you're heading for a fall. Keep yourself humble. Keep yourself low. God gives grace to the humble. Pride comes before a fall. Oh Lord, I'd never do that. Oh Lord, I don't do this. I don't do that. Just walk with God and be humble. And don't, somebody said one time to a man who was going to the Bible college, and says, I'll give you a bit of advice. Keep low and go slow and don't blow. That's good advice. But we see a suffering Savior here. You know, that brings us to verse 19. I'm watching the clock. I'm going to have to come to the close soon, but listen to this. Peter said, repent ye therefore. Repent ye therefore. Why did he say therefore? Why did he not just say repent? He says, repent ye therefore. Therefore, because Christ has suffered for ye. That's why. Repent ye therefore, because Christ died in your room and died in your stead. Now, I'm just looking at the clock here. It's just coming 5 to 12. The time is just flying in quickly, isn't it? Well, let me say this. Peter and John preached repentance. You know, you might be wanting to hear much about repentance today. You hear more about, are you a member of the church? Were you baptized? Somebody said one time, you can be baptized and you can be catechized and you can be mesmerized and you can be lost. You can die in your sins and go to the lost eternity. What is the gospel? The gospel is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. Repent. So the disciples preached repentance. Something else the priest says, and be converted. What? Repent and be converted. What does it mean to be converted? Well, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're converted. You're not what you used to be. You're something else. You're converted. I tell you, we need conversions. We don't need more members. We don't need a big multitude, but we need a group of people who are converted. We need a group of people who have passed from death unto life. We need a group of people who something has wrought in their heart, and because something has wrought on their heart on the inside, there's an outward manifestation on the outside. They're different. You see, when you're converted, you're different. You have passed from death unto life. There's been a change. You know, there's only one person can convert you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no man can convert you. There's no man can save you. There's no man can forgive your sins. There's one who can convert you. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Be converted. You know, I'm quickly going to... I haven't got it marked in my Bible, but listen, I'm going to take the time, forgive me, I'm going to take the time and I'm going to turn to Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Oh, just bear with me for a moment. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Now this is Paul speaking after his conversion. Listen what Paul says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. That's a man that has got a conversion. That's a man that's changed. That's a man that says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's a conversion. That's a conversion. If you want to read about a conversion, read about the life of St. Paul, and you'll read about a man who had a conversion on the Damascus Road. A man who had a change on the Damascus Road. A man who met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. What else does Paul say? Galatians chapter 6. And I've written it down somewhere. It's definitely Galatians chapter 6, is verse 14. Listen to what Paul says. This is a man that has had a conversion on the Damascus Road. This is a man that had an experience with God. This is a man that went into the place called Straight, and a man called Ananias come in and said, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to lay hands on you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he came in and he laid hands on him, and listen to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. He didn't claim to be anybody special, but he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature, a new creature, a conversion, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, save in the suffering Christ. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Oh, near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed his beams around me. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen from the dead. You see what did Paul say? He said the world was crucified unto him, and him unto the world. What does that mean? It means the world's dead to him. There's no attraction in the world for Paul. Listen, when you meet with Jesus Christ, he takes away the desire of the world out of your life. He'll take the things of the world out of your life. And he'll put the things of heaven into your life. He'll put the power of God in your life. He'll put the hunger for God in your life. He says, the world is dead to me. He says, I'm crucified unto the world. And the world is crucified. The world has nothing to offer the believer. The world has nothing to offer anybody. You know, people talk about getting a life. They're dead men and dead women walking. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. There's only non-existence. I get so filled with Jesus. If every moment of the day. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He's the truth, the life, the way. He satisfies my longing soul. He's the one who makes me whole. And the end of the week chorus says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. We're not looking for a superstar. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'll soon come to a close. You know, that's a wonderful verse, 19. That's a great verse, 19. Book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You know, I've written down something here about sins blotted out. What does it mean to have your sins blotted out? Let me say it, and Mammy said it, but I'm saying it again. There's one man who can blot your sins out. He's Jesus Christ. There's no earthly man can deliver you, or there's nobody can give a ransom from you. God gave the ransom when he gave his son for you. God shed his blood, the Lord shed his blood for you on Calvary's tree, that your sins could be blotted out. What does it mean to have your sins blotted out? I'll tell you what it means to have your sins blotted out. To have sins blotted out means there is absolutely no record of any description of them. I'm going to say that again. To have your sins blotted out means there is absolutely no record of them of any description anywhere in heaven or on earth or under the earth or in hell or anywhere. There's no more record of your sins. Once your sins are blotted out, you're a free man or a free woman, and the devil can never put them on you or never can bring them up. He may bring them up and say, you've done this and you've done that. When God looks at you, he sees his son, he sees the blood, and he sees the bleeding sacrifice, and he sees you're clean. Jesus said, now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Isn't it good to have your sins blotted out? Jesus done it all for me. All to him I owe. Sin had left, what is it, a crimson marker, but washed him white as snow. Oh, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. You know, I'm coming till a close, and you have listened well, but there's something else here that Peter and John preached. There's something else that they said. It said, when the times... So we see there's a repentance, we see there's a conversion, and we see there's a blotting out of sins, but there's something else. There's a times of refreshings shall come from the presence of the Lord. What is the times of refreshings coming from the presence of the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you in a nutshell what it is. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God coming on a believer. Now, let me say something about the presence of the Lord. What does the Bible say about the presence of the Lord? The Bible, the psalmist David said, well, shall I go from thy presence? Well, the presence of the Lord is everywhere. You can't escape the presence of the Lord. But this presence here, what's he talking about? I want to tell you something. This presence here that he's talking about is a manifest presence of the Lord. What is a manifest presence of the Lord? A manifest presence of the Lord is a presence of the Lord where you feel it. And you know it's there. And you know it's real. That's a manifest presence of the Lord. Now you can talk about the presence of the Lord. Some people talk about the presence of the Lord and they never felt the presence of the Lord in their life. But it's the manifest presence of the Lord that you need to have. That's God with you. And it's God in you. And God manifesting his power through you. Now Peter believed, I believe, he believed in a Pentecostal experience, and he preached a Pentecostal experience, and he preached a baptism of fire, and he preached a baptism of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again, they never preached one thing that wasn't in the Bible, and they never preached one thing that Jesus didn't say, and that brings me to my final, and I'm going to come to an end here, I'm going to come to a close, but I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, and I want you to listen to the greatest preacher that ever walked the shores of Galilee. The greatest preacher that ever stood on this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is not only the Jesus before the cross, but this is Jesus after the cross. This is the risen Savior. This is the risen Christ. And he's disciplining his disciples. He's given the men whom he has chosen, he's given them instruction, he has given the followers who will follow him, he has given them detailed information about what he wants them to do, what he wants them to preach, and what he wants them to teach. Now listen to what he says. In verse 44, we'll read these words of Luke's Gospel 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now that's Jesus. Jesus himself referred to the scripture. When the devil come to tempt him, he used the scripture. He said it is written. He used the word of God. He didn't vary off the word. The Bible says he was the word, and the word was made manifest and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And listen to what he says here. He refers back to the scripture. He refers the disciples back to the word of God, back to the scripture. You know, some people talk about getting back to the Bible, and they're only using half a Bible. They're not preaching all the Bible. If you want to get back to the Bible, preach it all. It's all relevant. There's none of it missing today. There's none of it not working today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass, but God's word will not pass. He remains the same. The Bible says in verse 45, it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Bible, that they might look to the Old Testament. You know, whenever the early disciples started to preach, they hadn't the New Testament. They hadn't got the New Testament. They had only got the Old. And they preached the gospel. Abraham preached the gospel. You know, he met Melchizedek, and what did Melchizedek do? He brought forth bread and wine, and they had communion. What was that bread and wine representing? It was representing the cross. It was representing Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was representing the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread was his body that was broken. The wine was his blood that was shed. That's what bread and wine represented. And Abraham met Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? The Bible says he was without father and he was without mother. He was at the beginning of days or ending of days. And he was the self-existent one. And he took a piece of dirt and he made a body. And he come walking down and he meets Abraham after he had returned from the slaughter of the kings. And he blessed Abraham. Abraham gave him tenths of all he had. Oh, hallelujah. He's a risen Savior. He's in this yard this morning. He's in your car this morning. He's beside you this morning by his Holy Spirit. Verse 46 says, and he said unto them, disciples, thus it is written. Hallelujah. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. Jesus referred the disciples back to it behoved Christ to suffer, that means that it's just like something that he would do. Could you imagine a physical Jesus walking into this yard this morning? Hey, I'd be over to him first. I'd break that door to get out to get to him. But you don't have to see him this morning to get something from him. You can see him by faith this morning. You can touch him by faith. He's a God of faith this morning. See, Jesus said, and to rise from the dead the third day. I tell you, he's alive today. He's not in the tomb no more. He's not on the cross no more. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Now listen to verse 47. This is what you're meant to preach. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then listen to this. This is a time of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. This is the Holy Ghost coming on the believer. Listen to what it says in verse 49. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In other words, get into that upper room and don't come out of it until you get the Holy Ghost. Get alone with God and ask him. Start praying for the Holy Ghost. You know, we need preachers today who will preach repentance, who will preach sins blotted out, who will preach conversion, and who will preach a baptism of the Holy Spirit, who will preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe haven't got them in the good order, in the right order, but will preach the resurrection, and who will preach the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to end it there. I've went on too long. You have listened well. Forgive me for taking up a lot of your time this morning, but I trust that something that has been said will inspire you. I trust that something that has been said will give you a hunger to seek after God and to ask for more of that same Spirit that raised him from the dead. And you know, there's no substitute for the power of God. Let me say that. There isn't anything that can replace the power of God. There isn't anything that can replace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is preached unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know, I had all the scriptures here and I never read them, but you know, you could spend a lot of time. Oh, I give myself a big scope. I always do that. A bit like a cowardly preacher. I give myself a big, big scope. You could talk for a year on this and not cover it. But the Holy Ghost is here, I believe that. Will you believe him now for something? Will you ask him now to help you? I'm going to pray and then the pastor's going to come and then Gary's going to come and sing. We'll be home soon, don't worry, you'll get away home soon. But I trust that the Lord will bless you. And I trust if something of what I said will be an encouragement to you. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, this morning, you know every heart, you know every dear soul that's gathered in this yard this morning and it's sitting in the cars. And maybe some who are listening in, Lord, who are not here. Maybe some listening in across the countryside. Oh God, visit each dear soul with your precious Holy Spirit. And minister to each dear person, Lord, and give them strength and give them grace. And give them victory, Lord, this morning in your name. And may they know the manifest sense of your presence in their life and in their circumstance. And may you set them gloriously free. And Lord, I say, fill all with your Holy Spirit who desire to have a touch from you. Touch people this morning, Lord, and brothers and sisters. And encourage them. Heal them, Lord, and deliver them and set them gloriously free. And Lord, give us that desire to walk with you. Just like Enoch walked with you and he was not, for you took him. And Lord, we know you're coming again. We pray, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, bless everything that's said and done here. Lord, if something was said that shouldn't have been, blanket out of the people's minds. But Lord, when I am silent, the Lord, of the voice of the preacher silence, continue to speak by your Holy Spirit. May your people check the word out. And may all those who are hungry check the word out. And Lord, I thank you, you came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Bless your people now, I say, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe the pastor will come. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one, and I certainly enjoyed the Word of God this morning. And I want to give a very warm welcome to those that are here maybe for the first time. The Lord bless you. And we just thank God that Jesus Christ truly is the same. I'm not going to take any time up, but just to say that we'll be live online every Sunday at 4:30. We'll be live online this evening at 4:30. So tune in if you're free to the Omega Ministry Church app or Facebook. We're on them both. I know some people have some difficulties maybe getting on the church app, but it should play. Our brother Matthew has it sorted. It might stop and start a bit, but make an effort. I know we have no hall to meet in, but the Bible says gather often. So this is the best we can do for now, and we thank the Lord for what we've got. When the Lord comes, we'll not be worrying about halls or anything. We'll be going. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Also, next Sunday morning, our brother Jackie will be preaching the Word of God first here at 11 o'clock. God bless you all. As our brother Gary comes, God bless you. God bless our brother John for the message. And I believe it's a word from the Lord this morning. We do believe in a Savior, a healer, and a baptizer in the Holy Ghost and the soon coming King. Keep praying for Sister Amanda that the Lord will touch her and heal her and deliver her and any others. If you have any requests for the service tonight, put them up. We'll remember them in prayer when we're on tonight as well. God bless you all.
This morning then, 644, as we leave, I'll not pray again, we'll sing this hymn as we're going. No hurry to run out. If anybody would like to remain behind for prayer, you're welcome to do that there, or to sing the song to you, or just go on, just as you feel. Praise God, what a wonderful change. 644, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.